Derek, good afternoon. This is Tim Fulton, the author of the book Small Business Matters. Very pleased to be with you today and to talk about the different roles of the entrepreneur.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, Tim Fulton, he's the author of Small Business Matters. One of his main focuses is helping growth-minded entrepreneurs to grow. He's a nationally recognized small business consultant, advocate with more than 30 years' experience in entrepreneurship, been a successful business owner, a small business counselor, an adjunct university professor, and his passion is helping others succeed. Tim, welcome to our program today.
Derek, it's a pleasure to be with you.
You've got a great resume of helping businesses. You've worked with thousands of business startups and existing business entities. And so I'm excited to learn from you today, being a small business owner myself and unfortunately got the entrepreneurial bug at an early age. So I've been cursed with that. Yeah. And many of our listeners have as well. So I'd like to start, though, just take me back to kind of your journey as an entrepreneur, as a person to get to where you are today.
Sure, Derek, I'd be happy to. My entrepreneur career started very early, delivering newspapers, selling bumper stickers in school, mowing neighbors' lawns. I just found at an early age I was interested, I was intrigued at different ways of making money, translated into going to school. I grew up in Miami, went to school in New Orleans at Tulane University. Got an undergraduate degree and a master's in business. And I think I was the only person in my class in business school that did not go to work for a bank or an insurance company or an accounting firm. I thought, why would anyone want to do that? Why would you not want to work for yourself? So got started in a retail tire and automotive business back in Florida and grew that and sold it in a couple of years and then started another business, retail travel agency back when there were travel agencies and again, grew that business into multiple locations and a couple $1 million in revenue. And luckily I got out right before the airlines decided to stop paying commissions to travel agencies. And so that started about a 12-year run of starting companies, growing them, selling them. And then I realized that I enjoyed, as much as I enjoyed doing it myself, I enjoyed being around other business owners and entrepreneurs. I began coaching, mentoring, consulting with small business owners. And that led to the start of my consulting practice called Small Business Matters. And it's just been a great run ever since then.
Man, thank you for sharing. I know that you've got so many stories because of the number of businesses that you've worked with. I want to ask you a question going way back. I know because I relate to your story because I was similar starting these small businesses. Many of our listeners too. Many of our listeners are not in the entrepreneurial phase yet, but they might be. But who can you think of somebody that had a big influence on you that either you saw them by example or that they encouraged you? I can remember having a boss at an early age who just gave me such confidence. I was 14 and I had the keys to the building and managing people older than me. And that gave me confidence to go out on my own. I remember that very clearly. Is there anyone in your life that you can look to either as an example of hard work or that encouraged you in your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, great question. Several come to mind. One was my father, who, while he was not an entrepreneur, he managed a number of different businesses. And I watched him and saw how he interacted with his customers, how he led the people that worked for him in a very respectful way. And then one of the first books that I read was Michael Gerber's E-Myth. And that changed my mindset around business and entrepreneur 180 degrees in terms of, you know, who starts businesses and how businesses grow. And then Stephen Covey's book was one of the first ones I read as a business owner, The 7 Habits. And again, that had a had a game-changing impact on me as a leader within a business.
I appreciate that. I'm going to get into some of our interview topics here in a few minutes, but I covet the time that we get to learn from you. And I'm curious, you talk about being in the travel industry and how you were lucky to move at the right time. Do you have any advice for businesses? I'm looking at my own marketing agency and with the advances in technology. And are there some best practices or things to watch for when it's time to make a pivot or a change?
One that I relate to that experience I had in the travel business is there's a lot of research that indicates that as much as 50% of our success in business is luck. Something that Malcolm Gladwell talks about in his best-selling book, The Outliers. And I was just lucky that I was able to exit that business at a time that the industry was literally about to take a nosedive. But it was luck and just seeing data points around me, what was going on in the industry, what was going on with my customers, how they were responding to our efforts, that I made the decision when I did. So while it was luck and a willingness to make a tough decision, and I find that many small business owners, when they see themselves in a place where they need to make a tough decision, sometimes they retreat and sometimes they're unwilling to take notice of what's going on around them and listen to their customers. So it's a little bit of luck and a willingness to make a tough decision, I think, would be a good starting point.
Man, that is great advice. Our offices for our agency are about 3 hours apart. Yesterday, I was doing the drive. I got engrossed in a conversation. I started going the wrong way down the highway, and I noticed I had gone about 20 minutes the wrong way. And I that feeling where you say, "Uh-oh, did I really just do that?" And I pulled over to the side for a minute and said, "What a moron! I had a meeting 3 hours away," and I said, this is the feeling that business owners need to have for just a minute sometimes to go, wait, am I driving this thing the right direction or am I driving it all the wrong way? So I appreciate that input. Yeah. Be sensitive and watch for a possible change. Yes, there's some luck to it, but yeah, you were obviously sensitive to watch for an opportunity to pivot. And, and so that's great advice. Let's jump into, you've got so much advice about the roles of a business leader, about entrepreneurial myths. Can you talk to me about some of the entrepreneurial myths that you've seen?
Sure. A couple come to mind, Derek. One is that I see with my clients is that there's a myth that if I've been in business for a while, at some point this business and the operation of the business should become easier. And the reality is it never gets easier. And the research refers to this as the growth paradox. The idea that as I grow this business, it should become easier, it should become simpler. And the reality is it never gets easier. It becomes more complicated. And as the business becomes more complicated, it gets more difficult. And so that's something I find business owners just assume that at some point it's going to get easier, and it never gets easier. So that's one myth that comes to mind. Another myth, and this goes back to the E myth, is I just assumed early on in my career that most people who started small businesses were like me. They were entrepreneurs, visionaries, kind of big picture thinkers. And the reality is, as Gerber talks about in his book, is that's completely false. Most people who start businesses are not visionaries. They're not entrepreneurs. They're the classic technician. The person who has a skill, has a certain amount of experience, and decides to start a business in that area. It's the chef who starts the restaurant. Right. And as a result of that, they're great chefs, they're great plumbers, they may even be great doctors, but that doesn't mean they're going to be great business owners. And so, understanding that myth and understanding what results from that belief that, hey, if I can cook food, I should be able to run a restaurant. It's such a false assumption. And that's what I think kills most small businesses.
Mm. Yeah. What a shock they have when they realize that there's so much more to it. I've seen that myself.
Yeah.
So before we keep going, you talk about it not getting easier. And I mean, you're so right on about that. It's not all smooth sailing once you open the doors. Do you have some advice? What's some advice you have as far as a mindset based on that it's going to continually be work and evolution for your company?
Yeah, I think the best advice is to realize the limitations that we have as a business owner and to be willing as the business grows to get help and get help both internally. If I'm the entrepreneur, if I'm the visionary, I need to find what's referred to as an integrator. I need to find someone who's strong in operations and be willing to make that hire sooner than later. So both, you know, look for help internally. You know, if I don't understand marketing, I got to find someone who does. I'm not going to do my own financials. I'm going to find someone to help me with financials. And then secondly is to look for help outside of the business, whether it's a consultant, it's a mentor, it's an advisory board, but to be willing to ask for help outside of the business, people who for whatever reason have an interest in me and my business and are willing to help me as the company grows. I think both of those are equally important.
Man, that is so good. And I've had 8 companies. The first several of them, I spent many years where I kind of held my cards close. Hmm. I was an entrepreneur. You were way before I was. And in my early days, it was before it was cool to be an entrepreneur, right? Back then, it was not it's pretty cool and trendy now with Shark Tank and things like that. But I didn't ask for help. I did it on my own, and I learned the hard way so many times, and I made a lot of mistakes and a lot of scars. When I finally started to be open to looking around and getting help, I realized that I was not in this alone. There were people that could do it way better than I could, or at least give me advice. And I joined an agency group recently, and I found that there's 20 other people having the exact same similar problem I have. And there's a consultant in there that says, yeah, well, here's some best practices to navigate around that. I would have either stumbled upon it in 2 years from now or maybe never found the answer. And so that's such great advice, and it's a hard one for us to hear sometimes because many entrepreneurs, the things that our strengths are, for all of our strengths, we also are very tight-lipped or guarded sometimes with sharing that we actually need help because we don't want to appear like we have any weaknesses. Can you talk about some of the roles of a small business leader? You started the show introducing that. You mentioned that there's 6 roles of a business leader. What are those?
Yeah, I'll be happy to highlight a couple of them for your listeners. And this is, I think, what makes the job of the small business owner so difficult is it's not one job. It's a half a dozen different jobs, different responsibilities, different roles that we have at any given moment on any given day. And so the first and maybe the most important role of the small business owner is the talent agent. At the highest level, you and I are responsible for making sure that we get the right people on the bus, as Jim Collins talks about in Good to Great, and making sure that we get them on the bus and in the right seat and get the wrong people off the bus. And in today's world, Derek, it's such a difficult job because essentially as an economy, we're operating at full employment, and yet I still need to be able to go out there and find good talent and put them in the right place. And that's a huge challenge for business owners today. And then being able to retain, not only be able to find good talent, but even more importantly, retain the good people that I've got working for me. So that role of the talent agent, I think, is the most critical role in today's world. A second one that comes to mind is, again, as the leader of the company, you're the scorekeeper within your company. You're responsible at the highest level for making sure that we're keeping track of whether we're winning or losing. If you think of the business as a game, are we winning or losing? Making sure that we're communicating key numbers to our employees so that they know whether we're winning or losing. And if I may just share a quick story that illustrates that, I'll never forget attending both of my sons played baseball growing up through high school and went to one of my son's baseball games, and the scoreboard was not working that day. Beautiful scoreboard, totally blank, and it was the most frustrating experience as a sporting event I've ever been to because we never knew as parents what the score was, who was winning the game. And even more frustrating was for the players. After every batter, they would look up at a scoreboard and see blanks. So we didn't know what the score was. They didn't know what the score was. And it suggested to me, I think that happens in businesses all the time, is that employees are never quite sure what the score is within their respective companies. They don't, as hard as they're playing, they don't know whether their team is winning or losing. And I think that's very unfortunate. So I think as a leader in the company, it's imperative that we're communicating to our employees how we're doing from a financial point of view and making sure, and this is something that I have to work really hard with my clients to understand, that every employee has at least one number that they're responsible for within the company. Just like a first baseman in baseball is he's responsible for a certain batting average, certain number of home runs, and a certain fielding percentage. Every employee with a company should have at least one number that they're responsible for driving within the company that hopefully then helps drive the company towards a winning percentage. And I think that's really important in this role of a scorekeeper. And then the third one I'll share with your listeners is that the business owner, in a way, is like a race car driver. And if you picture a race car driver, his or her hands are on the steering wheel because they're responsible for the direction of that vehicle. So the owner of the small business is responsible for the direction of their company or which way are we going. And then their right foot is on the accelerator. Their hand may be on the shift gear. Because we're not only responsible for the direction of the vehicle, but we're also responsible for the speed of the vehicle. How fast are we going? So this responsible for the speed and the direction of the organization at the highest level. So you and I are race car drivers, which I think is kind of exciting.
Yeah. Wow. That's great advice. A talent agent, scorekeeper, race car driver. These are great analogies, very relatable. That's amazing. I appreciate you sharing that. Let's talk about your book for just a minute. You have two books, Small Business Matters and then Small Business Matters and All That Jazz. What can readers expect when they engage with this book?
Maybe the best part of both books is real life stories, because many of these are articles and essays that I've written over the last 20 some odd years that are compiled in these two books. And most of them are based on either my own experiences, both good and bad, humbly, and also the experiences of my clients, whether it's hiring practices or the marketing best practices. So it's real life experiences written at the level that a small business owner can understand and digest and do something with. So it's not academia. It's not too high level. It's here's something that could have a positive impact on your business within a relatively short period of time.
Great advice. Thank you. So I'm curious, we'll have a few more questions for you here.
Sure.
What's the best entrepreneurial advice that you've ever received?
One that I see that comes up so often, Derek, and it comes from one of my favorite authors, Vern Harnish, who wrote Mastering the Rockefeller Habits, and most recently a book called Scaling Up. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's just such a powerful thought. Harnish says that in a growing organization, the positions in that company will always outgrow the people in those positions. In a growing organization, the positions in that company will always outgrow the people in those positions. And I see this so often. I was with a client just over lunch today, and he was talking about one of his employees who just was not performing at a level that he was accustomed to, and he was concerned about the employee. And after we talked for a while, it became apparent that this is a very fast-growing company, that the position, this was a management position, had outgrown that individual. And it's unfortunate, but I see it happening in many growth companies that because of the growth, that those positions would start off as a mid-level position is now an executive position, and he or she just may not have the DNA, the ability to move up into that position. And it creates casualties, unfortunately, within many small businesses. But it's something that every small business owner needs to be aware of, and one that I was painfully unaware of early in my career. And I kept a lot of people longer than I should have. And it not only penalized and impacted me as a business owner, it impacted that individual as well. They no longer were in the right seat in my company.
Tell us a little bit more about your company now and how our listeners can reach out to you to learn more about you.
Sure. Much of my work is either working one-on-one with business owners as an executive coach, as a mentor. And then I also work with peer groups of CEOs through an organization called Vistage. And I've been involved with Vistage for about 15 years working. I've got three different groups of CEOs that get together once a month. And then I'm also involved with a small business owner training program called GrowSmart, which is a 40-hour training program on everything from HR to financials to marketing. It's kind of like a boot camp for small business owners. So I have the privilege, the opportunity to work with business owners in a variety of different ways.
And where can we find your book?
Sure. My website is smallbusinessmattersonline.com, smallbusinessmattersonline.com. I have a newsletter that I publish once a month that your viewers would be more than welcome to subscribe to. The books are available there, and the books are also available on Amazon, whatever's easiest.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Tim. We appreciate you being our guest today. Is there any final advice or message that you want to share with us?
Maybe the last thing, Derek, and it's something that I preach to my clients, is I think the key to success in business is finding happiness. And it's something that many of my clients struggle with as they're growing their business, is finding happiness, not only in their business, but outside of their business. And it used to be we thought if we were successful in business that we would become happy. And the research finds the complete opposite is if I can find happiness, the success of my business will follow that and not drive that. I think that maybe is as important as anything.
That's great advice. So what does success look like for you?
Success for me is moving forward is working a little bit less and having a greater impact on those around me. If I can achieve both of those, that would be a home run for me, Derek.
Awesome. Man, Tim Fulton, thank you for being our guest today. I want our listeners to go to smallbusinessmattersonline.com, and you can find Tim's book, Small Business Matters, and Small Business Matters and all that jazz. Tim, we look forward to watching and seeing the next great things that you do, and I appreciate you taking your time today.
Thank you, Derek. It's been a privilege.
I want to invite you to join me in supporting the American Diabetes Association. I've got the honor of being a Kiss a Pig candidate this year, which means I have the opportunity to help raise money for the American Diabetes Association locally. The research, the ADA has been funding innovative research to combat diabetes since 1955. And in 2011, they funded more than $35.75 million a year in research at 139 research institutions across the country. The statistics, approximately 1.25 million American children and adults have type 1 diabetes. As many as 1 in 3 American adults will have diabetes in 2050 if present trends continue. I want to invite you to join me in supporting the American Diabetes Association. You can learn more at diabetes.org or stopdiabetes.com to see how you can get involved.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.